Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, we are coming off a football win. We beat Texas Tech on homecoming at the David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. You and I are still on the field celebrating. Was that fun or what?
Yeah, so I had not rushed a field since I think 2005. So 14 years later, fast forward, we rushed the field because we kind of had to.
We were in a spot,
and we can get more into it, where it's like you could like, well, we kind of have to do this from where we are, based out of practicality, and you know, you just got to do it. So as adult men, we were on the field with the college students, and there were some other people too.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. You were
some folks at work said they saw me on TV.
Oh,
with me not prompting them that I been on the field or done any of that. They're like, "We saw you on TV,
being a jackass."
Yeah, adult man rushing a field with a bunch of children.
Which, by the way, you ended up by yourself as an adult man rushing the field because you and I were together, and then in the scrum, of course, that was never going to happen. So I'm glad the cell phones worked out. We eventually caught up to each other over by the Gatorade booth, but how much fun was that, man? That was let's just real quick on the rushing the field thing, and we can talk some more about that. But we were in the, what's it called, the field goal club?
Yes.
Watch the second half of the field goal club. We've never been down there. It's kind of cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to do it all the time, but I guess it was good luck. So I'm glad we did. But we were standing down there, and when the first one went up, and everyone was getting ready. You know, you saw the people all kind of crouching down to the field, getting ready to rush it. And the first one went up and called the timeout. We're like, oh geez. And the ball sails through the uprights. And then of course what happened next was a disaster turned into fortune, and we kicked the field goal to win. And you looked at me like, are we going? And I was already gone. Like, I was always running around the corner. Like, all right, we're going. And then our buddy Nick and others were all kind of right behind us. So that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, so we're in the field goal club, and it was like – it wasn't like we were in the front row of the student section, which I've been in during a rush the field game.
Yeah.
And if you don't go, you are going to be trampled.
You're going.
You're going to trampled, so you have to go. Like, even if you're like, no, I'm good. No, it's no choice. From where we were, I mean, it basically emptied. The field goal club basically emptied. And we went around. We didn't even, like, jump the thing. We did it the old man way. We just kind of ran along the side, and then the usher was like, yeah, go ahead. It doesn't matter. So we didn't even have to like jump anything, which, you know, maybe there's some adventure to it of jumping over something to get on the field.
Not when you're 36. Like, now I was fine with just walking onto the field.
We're good.
I don't need to show off any feats of strength. Andrew, the question though, that I think everybody had when this was all going down, the number one question was not whether you're going to rush the field, because that was obvious. The question was, were the goalposts coming down?
Yeah.
And I actually appreciate, and usually I'm take the goalposts down every time guy, I appreciate the restraint because it opens up the opportunity for this weekend, Andrew.
Oh, we don't want to like.
You didn't want to tear early. The goalposts down for Texas Tech when them goalposts could be coming down after a big K-State win, right?
Oh, this is 100% accurate. I didn't even think about it this way, but that is 100% correct.
Yeah.
Which will get us into the K-State game. So let me just give a little roadmap to the folks at home. We are going to talk a little bit more about this rushing the field against this Texas Tech win. Stroll right into, meander right into the K-State game preview. And then, Kevin, we're going to talk about basketball.
Hey.
Basketball starts a week from yesterday. We're recording this on a Wednesday. The Champions Classic there in New York City at Madison Square Garden on November 5th, which I will be attending.
Nice.
It'll be my first Champions Classic. You've been to one.
Yes.
In Chicago, right?
Correct.
It'll be my first Champions Classic. So I will get to see up close what this is all about, and I will report back to the folks at home and to you as well, Kevin, about how it goes down. So we're going to give you just a little bit of a preview for the Champions Classic and kind of talk just a few little news and nuggets and little questions that have come out of the preseason games or the exhibition games. We had one against Pitt State. Was it Pitt State?
Fort Hays State?
Pitt State. I don't remember who it was. Pitt State sure. Last week, and we've got one tomorrow. Probably you're listening to this the same day. That's on a Thursday. So there's a couple things that have come out of that we want to just touch on. But right now, let's go back to the football game against Texas Tech. It was quite incredible. I mean, it was something we haven't done in a long time. Now, we do – hold on. I just pulled up KeySports.com because I was going to look up the schedule to see who we played. We play Pittsburgh State tomorrow.
I told you. It's Fort Hays State.
Fort Hays State. Okay, so we got a reprimand.
Yeah, we did.
Big 12 reprimands KU for football fans field storming.
We didn't get fined, though. Did you see that?
I'm going to give you the fan response. Don't care. Don't care.
Wait. Did you kind of buried the lead. Did you also see that K-State got the same issue, except they got fined, and KU did not.
Oh, TCU too.
And TCU got fined too, but KU did not. And my takeaway from that, Andrew, is clearly we're a lot better at it. Like, that's the answer, right?
I think you're right. And I think by not getting punished, I think that allows us to push the boundaries a little bit more. It's kind of like a kid who doesn't get punished for something they do. Well, that means that they can do it again and maybe do it a little worse next time just to see what the boundaries are. You've got a little one who's probably testing boundaries. You've got a 2-year-old. He's probably learning what he can and can't get away with. This is where we need to start testing that line. We need to start testing that line against K-State.
Yeah, he's like, can I disregard what you said about going upstairs and going to bed? And we're like, can we disregard that army of people wearing red to tear down the goalpost? It's like the same thing. And yeah. I think that we, I'll just say this. We're going to get fined next week if we win. The fine's going to come out. That is for
sure.
There'll
be some donors who are willing to shell out the 25 grand, the measly 25 grand.
I'll put 100 toward it.
Like, that's all. Like a GoFundMe, like, you know, I just PayPal and some. Yeah, is it worth it?
We could get
worth it. It's probably gonna be sellout.
That's what I hear. Tickets are going fast. It sounds like there's gonna be a lot of purple, unfortunately. So to the extent that you can, if you haven't already, get yourself a ticket and get to the Memorial Stadium to watch this game. Andrew, I think to put a bow on the Texas Tech game, obviously, you know, kind of a tale of two game or two teams. It was early on. We just didn't have much. Dearman seemed to be kind of trying to feel out the game. The offense wasn't doing much. Some dumb mistakes and some, you know, turnovers and things like that that all happened. Silly turnover to start the game. And but clearly kind of got in a rhythm. And good God, man, they poured it on, racking up over 500 total yards of offense for the second week in a row against Big 12 teams, Andrew. Something is going on with our guy, Brent Dearman. I mean, that's the story, I think, of this season right now. I mean, you got to love Les. You got to love the turnaround. You got to love and Carter Stanley figuring it out and becoming the, you know, the QB1 that we always kind of hoped he would be. But all of a sudden, like, there has been a tale of two KU football teams, one of them pre-Brent Dearman and one of them post-Brent Dearman as OC. And I'm not sure it can even be questioned.
It can't be questioned. So we've got this television program, Miles to Go, which, you know, is literally a story they're trying to tell. But, like, the story of the Kansas football program, just generally, aside from being on TV, the story that's being told. I think Brett Dearman now is the protagonist of the show, where Les Miles and Jeff Long were kind of like the two protagonists of like, hey, that's taking over this program. I think the real main character of this series is Brett Dearman now. Guy kind of coming out of nowhere, completely turning this offense around. Do you want to get into this question, Kevin? I asked you this question.
I think I do. I don't know if I want to, but I think I do. Let's
I think
do
we're
it.
Gonna get in trouble with this question.
Yeah.
And feel free to have like whatever answer you want at home, because I don't think there's a correct answer. But I just want to ask this question to the folks at home and to you, Kevin. If you had to choose between keeping one of these two people, who would you choose to keep? And those two people are Brent Dearman or Les Miles.
So this is tough. And I say my answer is tough only because you have to point to Les as the impetus for putting the shot in the arm for Kansas football, the recruiting right. uptick, the bringing in Brent Dearman in the first place, although I'm not sure it was totally Les. It might have been Chip Lindsey a little bit more. But at the same time, when we're just talking about X's and O's and we're just talking about infusion of holy shit into the program, I think the answer is Brent Dearman. And I don't feel good about saying that, but I'm just looking at time horizon. I'm just looking at results right. on the field and what I've seen so far. And it's unquestionable. Like I said, it's unquestionable between pre-Brent Dearman as OC and post-Brent Dearman as OC, what has happened to this team. It's hard to, I mean, and Les Miles has been at the helm the whole time. So you got to give him credit. As the CEO, you have to give him credit. But if you're telling me to pick one to be on the sideline for the next however many years, I think the answer is Brent Dearman.
And luckily, we don't have to actually make this choice. It is a very hard choice.
It's a podcast topic.
I think it's going
topic.
To be it's a podcast topic. We're in the hot take business here. And I think it's a question that you can ask at home.
What's your answer?
Feel blessed that you don't have to actually answer it or actually choose. My answer is the same. If we were really in the hot take business, I would take the other way. But I think just based on time horizon, he is a guy, if you play your cards right, could be a head coach at Kansas for 30 years.
Yeah.
With success. I mean, you start to play out these fantasies in your brain, and maybe these fantasies are taking over, and that's what's causing you to me and you to answer this certain way. But just from what you've seen so far, like, we barely knew this guy's name at the beginning of this month. Not even the beginning of this season, the beginning of this month.
I know. That's the thing. It is a small
There was some article
sample.
That came out. I think it was on 24/7 Sports. I think Scott Chasen may have even done the article about, hey, something you should get to know the offensive analyst for Kansas football. Like, oh, okay, this is a nice little beginning of October Kansas football piece. And then things just started like spiraling, or not even spiraling, but like climbing this mountain to the top. And now he's kind of like the toast of college football.
So I will say, super small sample size, right? And incredibly small. People react, people adjust to schemes. People can, you know, whatever, like coaches adjust, and maybe we've caught some people by surprise with our offense, whatever. I'll just say though, man, here's the other thing. I think that QB, Mr. Carter Stanley, is making him look pretty good too. Absolutely. Carter's been good. And if we didn't have Carter, that could be that. I mean, let's say it's, you know, Carter replacement, whoever that is, McVitie or whomever is, are we having the same conversation if it's like average QB? Like, Carter's been playing above average. If it's average QB and they put up 350 yards and they lose those two games, are we having this conversation? I don't know. But Carter's been playing like a madman, and that certainly makes a coach look good too. So I'm willing to say that. And like, next year, if Dearman's the full-time OC, and maybe, you know, associate head coach, and they give him a bunch of money and whatever. And then we backtrack a little bit from an offensive perspective because we got a different QB. Like that, that's possible. But I think we should enjoy the ride right now. And I'm still, that Miles to Go episode with Brent Dierman talking to Les about going for two.
You want two?
You want two?
I got two?
I got that. I got to play. Oh my God, dude. Like everyone after that was like, I'm running through a wall for that guy. And nothing has changed about that. You got to love his energy. You got to love his passion and fire. And he looks like he's having a freaking blast on the sideline. And how can you not watching the team put up 500 yards, two games in a row? Should have won that Texas game, Andrew. Like, think about that. We should have won that game. And looking at this now, let's talk about K-State. You have anything else to add on Texas Tech? Are you ready to move on?
I'm glad I got to go on the field. It was pretty awesome. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Well, you won't against be K-State. Doing it again. Because you
I will be in New York City on Saturday getting ready for – because we're going early – getting ready for the Champions Classic. You know, I got to get my bearings, take a couple days.
Sure.
You know.
Well, Stat Boy is having his 30th birthday, right?
Yes. Yes. So we're making a couple days out of it.
Longtime listeners may remember Stat Boy from like, what was that? Like episode 1 through 5?
Maybe 2012. That was 2012.
2012 on the podcast, Stat Boy, who would bring us stats. It's Andrew's little brother, who's now 30. So at the time was in college or whatever. All right. So, Andrew, let's pause for just a second and let's get into this K-State game. Andrew. The Sunflower Showdown is upon us. And I think we've tried to lobby for a different name for this. I mean, we've got the Border War, obviously. That's coming back. Sunflower Showdown feels a little weak compared to Border War. I'm going to credit our guy Jesse Newell for this because I think it was his. Do you remember what he came up with that we were lobbying for?
No.
The Clash on the Caw.
The Clash on the Caw.
The Clash on the Caw.
It doesn't have like a national ring to it because Caw is, you know, a very localized word.
Sunflower is just as lame. Clash on the Caw feels right.
Yeah, I like that.
So the line, Andrew, opened up at 6.5, is now either 5.5 or 6, depending on where you're looking. The over-under is 54.5. I think it opened at 55.5, which... I could have that wrong, but man, that number feels low. KU is like a plus 200 on the money line. So you get 2-1 on your money if you bet KU to win. What do you think about let's start with those lines, because I think that's a good kind of test on what the public and Vegas and whoever else is thinking about these two teams stacking up together at home.
Well, a couple of things. First, let's not forget K-State beat Oklahoma last week. And you know, the score indicated they only won by 7, but they were up by 18 points.
I think they're by more. Weren't they up by 20 something?
I think it was 30-48 with about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
And Oklahoma made a little bit of a comeback. For large portions of the game, they were dominant over Oklahoma, which is crazy to think about.
Right.
So this is a good team. Like this K-State team is a good team. The fact that we're only 6-point underdogs to a team that's coming off a win against the top 5 team means that people are actually respecting Kansas football. You've got to respect it just a little bit. I mean, 6 points isn't that much. Like, in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of the point spreads that we've been looking at in the past 11 years, it's one of the lower ones against a well-respected, well-regarded team. So it kind of shows that, you know, both of these teams are on the up and up. Both of these teams are coming off of really big wins. You know, theirs obviously bigger than ours, but ours is still as valuable. And, you know, that close win against Texas kind of goes to show our bona fides as well. So, you know, I'm very happy with that. That kind of goes to show where we're headed and where we are. But if you had to take that line and you were an objective bettor, where would your money go?
So to your point, KU is 4-4 against the spread this year and 3-2 in their last five. K-State, Andrew, is 5-2 against the spread. So it's not like Vegas is, or I say Vegas, it's like offshore, you know, whatever guy in a hut and whatever using some computer system to do this and making millions. But whoever did that, they are still giving K-State maybe less credit than they deserve. I mean, it feels like it, right? Coming off that game, maybe they were giving a little bit of a fluky result to it. Maybe they think they're going to come down for KU. I don't think that's the case. When have they ever, you know, come down for KU?
Especially the Clash on the Caw.
Okay, exactly. I think they're underrating the Clash on the Caw. So I guess my point is, if you look at it, a home team probably gets 2 to 3 points as the home team.
Yeah, in the NFL, it's a little bit more in college, I think.
So, even more, prove the point. Let's call it 3-4 then. That means they're basically calling this a field goal game. And you line these two teams up together and you look at their body of work so far, I think it's pretty difficult to line up KU against K-State and say that it's a field goal difference team. I think K-State's quite a bit better. Now, you take the body of work and you slash it by the time that Brent Dearman has been behind at the OC, and just look at that two-game sample size, all of a sudden, you see a 7-point game to Texas that could have been a win. You see a win against Texas Tech, and you see two teams that put up 500-plus yards against both teams. All of a sudden, that maybe starts to look like a coin flip game, and that is, I think, the reason for that spread. You asked me the question, what do I think of K-State -6? I think there's a little bit, and you just say purely objective. It is hard for me to be objective in this discussion because I've seen KU lose to K-State so many effing times in the past 20 years and get romped by K-State at home so many freaking times that it's difficult for me to be like, how could... Wait, we're going to stay within 7 against these guys who just beat good enough to beat Oklahoma. I would probably bet K-State. I say that as the objective better. Now, looking at it closer, I think it's a pretty close game. I think this is going to be a close game. But if you're forcing me to take a line, I think I'd bet K-State. What would you do?
If as an objective better, I would take K-State, but okay. I'm not either.
We have
Brett Dearman's magic. He's only had just a couple weeks to get ready. He's got a full week to prepare an offensive game plan against one of our biggest rival at the moment. And at home, coming off a win, I think he's a guy who thrives off of energy and excitement. And there's a lot of energy and excitement. These are all, you know, very fluffy and cloud and
you know what though? That's okay. Because look, we had how many people at the last game? 30,000? Maybe.
It's probably gonna be 50.
It could be 50 at this game. It could be a different kind of Memorial Stadium than we have seen basically since 2009. And that you talk about feeding off energy. You talk about a team.
You know, I think that there were some games in 2010 and 11, which we were selling out just based off of legacy, but like we haven't seen it in 10 years.
No.
And I think that this will be the craziest game at Memorial Stadium in over 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Not close. So here's the thing that jumps out to me from the Oklahoma K-State game. And it feels almost like a little bit of a Chiefs thing too. So it's like KU and the Chiefs have the same problem. K-State possessed the ball for 38 minutes in that game. compared to 21 whatever and change for Oklahoma. And when you look at KU and you look at our strengths and weaknesses on defense, that's a little scary to me, because if they're able to just, you know, sort of dink and dunk, lots of runs, get the ball down the field and score and keep our prolific offense off the field. And I think you can call it a prolific offense over the past two games. I think it does limit upside, and that seems like a way to win, to keep, and it's crazy to say, but keep our prolific offense off the field and sort of manage the game. That's what they did. I mean, Skylar Thompson didn't do anything. He was 18 for 28 with for 213 yards. That's what Skylar Thompson was. Like, that is not that impressive. And he only, like, you okay, well, he ran a lot, right? He only ran for 39 yards. But what he did do is score four touchdowns on those 39 yards. So he has the ability, he has a nose for the end zone, and he's a manager of a game that is perfect for that team. They got a good offensive line, and it just seems a little scary for that reason.
And we've got to give some credit to the defense too, against Texas Tech, and they've got to be ready. One thing we can't do is have our best defensive player get ejected for targeting the first quarter.
Yeah, that was
with
brutal.
Bryce Tornaden going out early, but Gavin Potter steps up, makes, I think Gavin. led the team in tackles at the end of the game. Gavin Potter, if the folks at home don't remember, is the guy who, when he was making his recruitment announcement, initially had on a Texas Tech t-shirt or sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And then he took that off and had a K-State t-shirt on, and then he took that off and he had KU written on his bare chest.
Yes.
So Gavin Potter,
he's our guy,
is going up against the two teams that he punked in his announcement. And you know what? Last game showed some of his bona fides. He was ready to go. You know, it could have worked out very poorly for him if he didn't play very well. So, but he stepped in for Bryce Thornton. Bryce, let's not get kicked out this game.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and play the whole game.
I think he wants to play.
If you were going to pick a player that was going to get kicked out for targeting, it wouldn't have been Bryce Thornton. It would have been Mike Lee, because he does that almost every game.
That dude, whatever, man.
I like that he flies around. People. I don't want him to stop.
No.
But, man, it's borderline every
He's
time.
He's a decleater. I love that about him. All right, Andrew, let's put a bow on this and talk some basketball. I just have one question for you.
Okay.
Well, actually, two questions. What's your prediction for the KU-K State game?
Well, I think there's an 80% chance that K-State's defense steps up a little bit and we all walk out of the game saying, hey, it's basketball season. It's basketball season. We've got a game.
It does feel like that. It feels like that's a really
real game on Tuesday against Duke. It's basketball season, guys. But there's a 20% chance that we walk into Memorial Stadium, the boot, not the boot, the boot.
I just took a drink of my beer while you're saying that.
So if someone can explain this, Les Miles did a hashtag the boot instead of the booth. I thought it was an error, like a typo. And you didn't think it was, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to start calling it the boot. Like, I don't like the booth. We've already talked about this on this
we
podcast.
We have talked
but
about the
boot. Booth. I can get on board with the boot.
It is Memorial Stadium.
We're going to walk into the boot.
We're going to walk into
the boot. Memorial Stadium. David Boot Memorial Stadium.
I will. If that's what we're going to call it, I will go for David Boot Memorial Stadium. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Okay, so I think you're right. I think there's a chance that we win the game, and I put it maybe a little higher than 20%. I think it's maybe closer to 30, 35%. But, Andrew, there's just something in the back of my head, and I think it's a jaded KU fan. I can't help it, but it also feels like we could lose this game by three or four touchdowns too, doesn't it? I mean, that's the thing that's...
Sure.
That's what I'm struggling with. Like, I don't know. I think we either win the game or it turns into, like, everyone walks out early, and that makes me super sad to think like that, but you can't blame me for thinking like that, because I've seen it so many times. We've got our hopes up. They've got us tied in. We're ready to roll. This place is ready to turn into a football/basketball school. And then wah, wah. I'm hoping here's my prayer. I just hope they keep it very competitive. Because if we lose on a last second play or it's a field goal game or whatever, everyone still leaves that game going, hell yeah, these guys got something building. This is exactly what we wanted to see from KU football this year. I did not expect wins, but I wanted to see this. I wanted to see a competitive team that's busting their ass and trying to win these games and get and keeping it fun and close and entertaining. That's what I want. If it's a four touchdown game, I think you're right. Everyone walks out and goes, KU is back to, you know, it's time for the Champions Classic. And I just, I really hope that doesn't happen. Second question, Andrew.
Yeah.
Looking at the rest of the schedule, we got four games left. We are 3-5. We only have to win 75% of our remaining games to, only? That's it.
It's to, a 3-1
to go to a bowl game.
Oh,
they just have to go 3-1. Those games left are,
we haven't won three out of four since 2008.
Andrew, K-State, obviously at home. Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Tough game. Iowa State in Ames. And then
we're going
to
win that one. I'm going to be there for that one. We're going to win.
And then Baylor back. So play this forward. KU beats K-State. Goes down to Stillwater. Probably loses that game. They're pretty good. Goes up to Ames with you in the stands. And you.
We're not losing with me in the stands.
Willing them to victory. Consider this, Andrew. On November 30th. KU is facing Baylor, a good Baylor team.
An undefeated Baylor team at the moment.
To go to their first bowl game since 2009. Eight. You're right, eight. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, nine was the where they started off 5-0 or 4-0.
Yeah, 5-0.
So that could be fun. I'm just going to say this. What do you think our record is in these next four games?
Honestly, 1-3.
Yeah, that feels right. That feels right. I think they get one more game. I just hope it's against K-State. That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on and talk some basketball.
Okay, so it is, we are a basketball school. I don't know if you remember that. We do have a little basketball team that is ranked third in the country in the preseason poll. We've had one game so far. It was last Thursday against Fort Hays State. I watched on the ESPN Plus. We've got some takeaways from that. I want to get us ready for the Champions Classic, but I think the biggest takeaway that I want to talk to you about if from last Thursday's game is that it's pronounced Brown.
Brown, not Braun.
Not Braun.
Not Braun's the lovely burger establishment. Is that still a thing? Are those around? Braun's? Like small town. You're like from small town.
Brom. It's Brom.
Brahms. God damn it. That's
right. I was like, what are you talking about? Brahms.
Whatever. You pronounced them Whompers before you were eating some candy and you called them Whompers.
Halloween campers. Whompers is just a better name for it. That's what I'm going to call them.
Brom.
But so damn it's it. Christian Brown.
Brown. It's
so
Brown.
I guess that makes sense. German name.
Yeah.
If you remember the your history class, Kevin. Otto von Braun.
Of course.
Braun. It's not von Braun. It's von Braun. He was like the guy who did the architect of the moon landing. So like people should have known this just based off of some precedent. But it was just weird to hear the folks on ESPN Plus say Brown.
Christian
Brown.
And he even confirmed it on Twitter. Did you see that? He came out on Twitter. He confirmed it. And there were more Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you gifts than I've ever seen.
I don't believe you. So that's the most important takeaway I have. The other is the Christian Brown, pretty good.
He looked pretty good. You know what?
He's going to have to with, you know, the guard, specifically the point guard position, not being particularly deep anymore. He can shoot. He could play against Fort Hays. We'll see what he can do against the rest of them. But I liked his play. The other takeaway I want to get from you, and this is not necessarily about the Fort Hays game, but about kind of this early season. What are your thoughts on redshirting Mitch?
So I've been thinking about this. it, first of all, it makes me sad, right? Because I love it when Mitch is on the floor. No easy buckets. Obviously last year we had the whole song and Prison Mitch is out there and he's too much fun to watch play. But Andrew, if there's any player on this team that would take one for the team because he loves KU so much and would be willing to stick around for probably as many years as we let him, it would be Mitch Lightfoot. We've got Udoka. We've got David. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, if you remember, if you cut him open, a Jayhawk would
Jayhawk, that's right. Jayhawk will fly. That's part of the song. We got Udoka. We got David. We got Silvio. I think, and here's my reason for saying, and I'm on the fence for the, let me explain. It'll take just 30 seconds. I'm a little worried about playing two bigs together this year. And I know that this team is obviously set for that from a personnel standpoint, but you heard Bill after the game, like he's concerned about having Silvio or David go out and guard a stretch four. And it didn't work in this game. I'm a little concerned. I mean, obviously it was Fort Hays State, whatever. But the fact that he raised it in postgame, obviously this time of year, Bill Self's going to raise all kinds of shit to say our team sucks, we got to work on this, whatever. He's going to do that. But it felt like a little real that he was concerned that playing two bigs may be a problem. And I say all that to say Mitch Lightfoot's probably the guy that could play the four that's probably a real four. The other guys are all kind of fives. I mean, that's my concern. And I think
we have a lot of fives and we have a lot of threes.
A lot of threes, exactly. And we don't have that 3-4. Like, I don't know if Christian Brown, I don't know if Ochai, I don't know if, you know, Marcus Garrett, I don't know if these guys are that Josh Jackson type mold that can guard another team's four. And that's the question that I think is going to be the biggest question for this team going forward and looking at, you know, it's sort of build throughout the year is how are they going to do that? And if it turns into a deal where they are just rotating, you know, Silvio and David and Udoka around and just letting them all get five fouls and not even worrying about it, like that's one thing, but it also feels like you're leaving a lot of talent on the bench. All this to say, very long answer, Mitch is the one guy that probably could play that role and guard a stretch four that, if he's redshirting, you know, won't be an option. So it'll be one of those deals. Are we playing a three guarding a four, or are we playing a five guarding a four? And that's the question.
I think it's a tough question. I mean, I don't think that we'll know the answer until Tuesday. I don't think Bill Self will know the answer until Tuesday. You know, he's a guy you'd like to have around, but, you know, this could be a special year if everything works out the way it's supposed to, or the way it could with the talent that's on the team and the guys returning and what we're trying to do. So maybe it's better to just roll the dice and put them out there and say, hey, your minutes are not going to be what they could be if you were playing next year, but you know, we're going to need you on the floor.
I got an over under for you.
Sure.
If he plays, and let's say he averages 11 minutes a game and that's it, does he still lead the team in charges?
I think there's some hustle guys out there. I think Ochai's a hustle guy. I think Dotson's a hustle guy. They could compete with that.
But he's the guy that slides over and takes the charge. I think he leads the team in charges. If he plays less than 11 minutes per game, I'm picking someone else. Okay. But Mitch is my charge guy.
All right, that's fair. Well, my next question for you is a question that you've already answered, but it's Doak plus Silvio. Does that work?
Yeah, I won't go into it any longer, but
yeah, that's it.
I don't know the answer. I think we're going to find out. It's scary though. I want those guys on the floor together, but here's the thing that drives me nuts. We have the two best big men around, on the floor together,
maybe three.
But I'm saying, like, in terms of like lining up our team versus your team, and because of the goddamn 3-point line, that's basically the only reason we have to put one of them on the bench, because a stretch four is just jacking threes on us. Or on the offensive side, you know, if it's Silvio in the court in the game, Silvio is stretched to the top of the key, and all they do is just fade him because they're not worried about him making a three-pointer, and they go double-team Doak. Whereas if you have that four-guard lineup, you have to go stretch and guard that person who might be able to make that perimeter shot and maybe give Doak a little room to operate. So it's frustrating, and I don't say it from any other standpoint, that this is just the way basketball is now. Like, it's it's changed. It's just completely changed in the last decade, and it is just, it is what it is. Unfortunately, we have an old school team right now. It's an old school team.
And that's okay. Old school teams can win championships.
For sure.
We've just got to figure out the way to do it.
Yep.
Let's just talk about Duke before we sign off. I'll tell you, you know, they're ranked number four in the country, but they almost lost to Northwest Missouri State. Did you see this?
I saw that it was I saw something floating around on Twitter. It's like a 6-point game or something.
Well, and it took some free throws at the very end for them to actually win. Like, so it was down to the wire. This is, yeah, Northwest Missouri State is a great team, for AA or whatever they are, Division II. They are a great team, but they were playing against the number four team in the country, the Duke Blue Devils, in Cameron Indoor, and they almost walked in there and won. You know, there's a lot to that. Early game, experienced team, playing against a lot of freshmen, but man, they almost lost to Northwest Missouri State. Now, that means that we're going to get a great game from them here come Tuesday. But, you know, just to walk through a little bit of their roster, they have Trey Jones returning. He's a point guard.
Yeah, he's good.
And then they have a bunch of freshmen. Cassius Stanley is one that stands out. Matthew Hurt. Do you remember Matthew Hurt? He's almost a Jayhawk.
We
were in on that guy pretty hard. The other guy, Vernon
Carey.
He's
our stretch four. He's our stretch. He's the guy that would have been playing opposite. I mean, I'm serious.
You're right.
Like,
you're
that's
right.
The guy that would fit in perfect on this team.
Vernon Carey is also a big man. He plays the five. He's the fourth overall recruit. So a guy that will be looking to, you know, probably play in the NBA next year or at least be in the conversation for that. So this is going to be a freshman team. They needed some of their seniors and some of their juniors and seniors to step up to win against Northwest Missouri State. Javin Delorier and Jack White were two guys who needed it.
Jack White,
Alex
still
McConnell
on the team?
Too. Yeah, man.
I remember that guy.
He had to play some minutes to get that win. So it'll be an interesting lineup to see if Coach K goes freshman early. It seems like he will. He has done that in the past. But I don't know. It's very reminiscent of some of these older Kentucky teams where just bring new freshmen in every year and see what happens. Usually they're not very good at the beginning of the year, and then they kind of figure it out. I think they're going to be a little bit better than that Kentucky model, but we shall see. And the last question I wanted to talk to you about is, what do you think the starting five will be on Tuesday?
Oh man. You know,
because I'll preface it with this.
We have the
McCormick
locks.
Is going to start tomorrow. McCormick is going to start against Pitt State with next to Doak.
Yeah. Well, so we have the locks, right? Well, first of all, is Dotson playing? Like, that's number one.
I don't think he's going to play tomorrow, but he'll probably play Tuesday.
And so we're pretty confident.
Well, I'll give you Dotson. Dotson and Doak, one of the five. It's the 2, 3, 4.
And then Ochai. Ochai will be in there. So you got three.
Ochai's so it's the 2 and the 4, really. If you pencil in Ochai at the 3.
So early on, it wasn't it Marcus and Silvio?
Oh yeah.
So that's probably the most likely, just based on what we've seen. I think that's who starts the game. I wonder how quickly it changes into, let's see what, you know, Christian Brown. Let's see what, and I don't. What's Jalen Wilson's current situation?
He played pretty well last Thursday.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a little tricky to see. I just don't know what's going to happen at the four. I just don't. That's my, when you look at the two teams lined up, the one thing that I feel a little bit confident about is that I'm not sure Duke's going to be a great perimeter shooting team, which is good for us, and the ability to potentially play those two guys. But Man, I don't know. What's your take? I really don't know. I it's not normal for me to just not have a take on that, but I'm very confused so far on this lineup.
Well, I think it's Dotson, Garrett, Ochai, Silvio, Doak, but I think that Moss can step in there and play because we need that shooting.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people have been, a lot of people have been saying that he's going to get some minutes and he may get that starting job over Garrett, but I don't think he's going to get it on Tuesday. I don't think he's going to get the first regular season game of the year. Jalen Wilson may get some run. Tristan Inara.
Inaruma.
May get some run. He played well. And I say well, I mean, these guys were out there. I think Jalen Wilson went 2 for 9, but he, you know, he looked like he belonged out there.
Yeah.
Same with Tristan Inarua, who also went 2 for 9. These guys just 2 for 9ers, but both of them like looked like they were part of the team, looked like they belonged, looked like they could be contributors. So, but I think this, we're going to try to stick with the Silvio Doak thing and see if it works. And I think it really can work. Because no other team's going to play like this, be able to rebound like this. And this is going to be an old school Bill Self team. Sylvia is going to have to be a little more nimble than just playing on the block.
You're right. That's it. That's really what it comes down to. He's got to be able to get out, and he's your energy rebounding guy, which has got, that's a mindset shift for him to be able to get out and do that. But if anyone can just run and gun and get back to the paint and run out, I mean, he's got the athleticism to do it. He just has never had to before. So that's, you're right. I think that's exactly the key to deciding what happens with this lineup.
Well, those are all my questions, Kevin. So we've got this game on Tuesday. Give me a prediction. Madison Square Garden, Champions Classic, first game of the year. What are you thinking?
I haven't seen a line, but I have a feeling it'll be, especially if Duke's, you know, all they have to go off of are these exhibition games. I think KU might be favored by a couple. Are we three? What are we ranked compared to them? It's right.
I think
right,
we're three and they're four.
Yeah. So I feel like we'll probably be a couple point favorite. I would say I'll go 77 to 71 Kansas.
All right. I like that.
Does that feel about right?
That feels about right to me. Maybe Duke a little bit more. KenPom has us losing 78-74, except they have us ranked 10th.
Ooh,
Mr. Pomeroy has us ranked 10th and Duke 4th. I'm not sure where they're getting that information. And this early in the year, even he'll tell you it doesn't matter. Let's talk in January.
I agree. So speaking of talking in January, Andrew, I told you today that I think KU basketball season is really split up into 5 seasons.
There's
exhibition. We're halfway through. There's Champions Classic. I'm sorry, State Farm Champions Classic.
Hey, no free ads.
There is the non-con. And you might even be able to split it off into like the Maui or other. But let's go with the non-con. And then the conference season and then postseason. Like those are our seasons. So we talked about doing a KU basketball preview show. Andrew, we are doing a preview to the first season, which is, of course, or I guess the second season.
First and second.
Which is the Champions Classic. And, of course, we could talk Pittsburgh State. I don't know anything about the Gorillas, but hopefully we win. And then, Andrew, we'll be back to talk about the rest of the conference or non-conference season, leading off with such powerhouses as UNC Greensboro, Monmouth, East Tennessee State, potentially some Chaminade down there in Hawaii. And then, you know, we'll see what happens from there, but let's do that. Let's plan on that as our kind of setup. Does that make sense?
Love it.
All right. That sounds good. Andrew, I think to close this out, I'm really, really excited about this KUK State game. And it's starting to scare me a little bit how excited I am. Are you in the same boat? Like, are you like actually legitimately excited about a KU football game?
Well, after being on the field, yes.
It's hard not to be.
Hard not to be. You smell that turf, broken up rubber tire field. You're like, this smells like football. This smells like victory. This smells like 2007.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We've seen it happen. You've seen a good KU football team and how much fun it was. I want it back so bad. And I know it's going to happen. I know I'm going to get my hopes up and something's going to happen to just tear me down. But that said, I'm really excited about this game. I'm going to find a way to get there. I'm going to have to shun some kid's birthday party that I'm supposed to go to. I'll probably take a hit with my wife. It'll be something that will, I'm going to use up some political capital, but I'm going to try to get there, Andrew. I think you have to. I'll give you an excuse because you're going to New York and you're going to represent at the Champions Classic, but I think I have to find a way to get there, right?
Yeah. It'll be fine. Okay. It'll be fine. You'll be forgiven for whatever happens. This is something that you need to go to.
I got to go to.
You're required
at
this.
I got to go.
Right.
All right. Well, can you send me a doctor's note or something to my wife for that? Could you put that together?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's on you.
Cool. Can Twitter do that for me? Can like someone on Twitter just reach out and like, you know, just put a nice tweet to Jayhawk Talk's wife?
Does not care about Twitter.
All right. All right, you're right. This one's on me.
This is on you. This is on me.
All right, it is what it is. Well, hopefully you don't have the same issues I do. You get out there, and I say you, the collective you, the listeners, get out there and support KU. Should be a fun day on Saturday. Also, totally fun seeing Champions Classic on Tuesday. It's all happening at the same time, Andrew. It's a fun time to be a Jayhawk. Let's enjoy this. I got nothing else. Let's get out of here, Andrew. You got anything else?
I don't. Rock Jock Jayhawk. Hit me up on Twitter at Sherlock Hoops if you'll be in New York City.
There you go.
We may do a little Jayhawk Talk luxury box.
I assumed you were going to watch it from a fancy luxury box there in the garden at the Does Jayhawk Talk have a luxury box inside the garden?
We do.
That's what I thought. I figured you
special,
did.
It's a special spot. It's actually lower level. Lower level.
Okay. Okay.
My seats in Madison Square Garden are better than they are in Allen Fieldhouse.
How about that? That's something. All right. Well, hit Andrew up. You can hit me up at Jayhawk Talk. I will very likely be at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Since Andrew is bailing on me, let's find some tailgates and have some good times at Memorial Stadium. Until next time, we'll catch you hopefully after a KU victory in football, a KU victory in basketball. And I'm not talking about against the Gorillas. I'm talking about the Blue Devils. Until then, rock chalk. I tried to tell him every time we on the court. I tried to tell him that we never coming up short. I tried to tell him that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell him that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now.
If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you